News Talk Breakfast with Anton Savage.
In association with AIR.
The sartorial elegance in the room has improved greatly because Gavin Riley, Virgin Media News political correspondent and host of Monday with Gavin Riley on Virgin Media Television, is suited and booted, Gavin.
Yeah, well, I'm actually spending a lot of today doing promotional stuff for the aforementioned Monday with Gavin Riley, which was only announced this morning, which kicks off in 3 days' time. So I'm dressed for armory as far as that goes.
Well, congratulations. But, when is it going to be on our screens?
We're starting a screen next Monday.
Oh, brilliant.
Which is funny. Yeah, it's one of those promotional things where if you were to promote a Monday night show more than one Monday ahead of time, then people would tune in on Monday and go, sorry, where's
Gavin
Riley
was on, what's the crack?
But because it's a kind of a stealth bank holiday where we had a 4 day weekend, we have to kind of try and condense the promotional stuff. But starting next Monday, and really looking forward to it. And it's hopefully something a little new in the TV current affairs space, because while there is still a place for government versus opposition and put them in a barrel and make them fight and have them sort of address each other's pitfalls and ideas, and that's really valuable. Sometimes people aren't really looking for a scrap when they tune in late at night. They actually want something a bit more conversational where you try to unspin and explain what's going on. So that's hopefully what we're going to be doing. And all going well, we're starting it next Monday night.
Well, look forward to it. You know, I have always been a fan, so it'll be great to see you on the box in such a role. Now, before that, your role with us today is to look through some of the stories that people might not have seen. And because the sun is now shining, it is easy to forget that it is not long enough. It is not long since there was huge flooding and flooding problems and criticism of lack of flood preparedness. That flood preparedness isn't going to get solved anytime soon.
No, the Public Accounts Committee was yesterday hearing from different people from Met Éireann and from the Department of Housing, which is the parent body for Met Éireann. And they were discussing flood warning systems and a long running plan, which has been in place, I think, since 2017 or 2018 to ultimately roll out localised flood warnings across the country. And what the PAC was told yesterday is that although the first stage was delayed for a couple of years and only actually got going in the last 2 years or so, that it could be between 5 to 10 years before they're in a position to offer meaningful localised flood warnings to individual areas. And
10 years?
And that is the response that I imagine most listeners will have to this. They'll go, sorry, 10 years for a strategy that's already been in place for 8 or 9 years already. Ironically, and quite amazingly, the OPW told the PAC yesterday that is a realistic time frame, that it simply just takes that long to roll out the systems. Now, I'm not a meteorologist, I don't work in the OPW, but it strikes me as a little fanciful that you'd have to wait that long. Firstly, because this scheme, people might remember when the government was formed in 2016 and the Independent Alliance were a crucial part of that, Boxer Moran had just gotten elected off the back of basically being the councillor for floods in that loan. And it was his stipulation in 2016 that they introduce this system. 10 years on, they still haven't gotten around to the localised bit, and that you'd be 10 years on after that before you'd get their stretches credulity a little bit. Now, if anyone is hopefully not in their cars right now, if they pick up their phone, you can search for flood maps on Google, and you'll get to a website by Tolcha Éireann, what used to be the Ordnance Survey, floodmaps.ie, and it will basically show you all the areas in the island that are at most vulnerability of floods. So when you think of Storm Chandra early in the year and you're thinking about, well, there's particular parts of Wexford that had already had sustained rainfall, so one bad storm wasn't the thing that caused the flood, but it was the straw that broke the camel's back, if you'll allow me to torture the metaphor for a moment. Floodmaps.ie can basically do that for you already. You can identify the bits that are most vulnerable. And surely in the age of AI, it's a little easier to go, well, there was very heavy rainfall in that particular area that week, and it's already a flood-prone area, so we can find some way of communicating to locals that these things need to be adjusted. I can't fathom for the life of
it. It also strikes me, if Boeing was able to start with a blank sheet of paper and 3 years later have the 747 in the air, surely flood maps can't take three times that duration.
We put a man on the moon within 8 years of the president saying we're going to do it because it's hard. And we manage that. So I just can't imagine in the area where like, not to evangelise AI too much, but where so much of the heavy thinking can be done for you, why it would take 5 to 10 years for somebody to go, actually, yes, you've had a lot of rainfall, there's more coming, and you live in a floodplain, this is a time to be worried.
I want to move to a story that relates to, I think, is going to be more common in a lot of industries, but is unfortunate to see in this particular industry, which is journalism. Media House suspends the former Irish boss over use of AI. This is significant, journalistically.
Even more significant because Peter van der Meersch, who admitted to these infractions in a Substack that he hosts, was actually talking about the pitfalls of using AI in those posts, where he's obviously a journalism evangelist, and he was the chief of Media House in Ireland, and now he has this kind of more international.
So he wasn't like an intern; he was the boss.
He was running the show down on Talbot Street for a couple of years, and part of the mission that he's on now is the future of journalism, and everyone who works in the media is a little concerned about the future of journalism in the era of AI, where so much stuff can be generated so quickly. And he's been maintaining a Substack, which then ultimately branched off into him writing op-ed pieces for the Irish Independent, among others, as well as some of their other sister titles internationally, where he was writing about the pitfalls of AI, and in particular, the issue of hallucination, which for people who have never used AI is where AI is trying to fill in the gaps of its own knowledge and just presumes that it knows what's going on.
Lies, Gavin.
And it lies. It manufactures quotes, or it manufactures legal cases or scientific papers to back up its arguments. And Peter van der Meersch has been writing to say this is a real danger, and we really need to be careful that although you might use it as a crutch, that you'll become too reliant on it, given that it can't be relied upon. It turns out that in the process of writing all of those pieces, that Peter van der Meersch himself was actually effectively using recycled imaginary summaries of articles that were never said. What people discovered, and one of his, ironically, one of the Dutch titles, which is part of this family, did an audit of the quotes that he was citing in his pieces, and discovered that many of the quotations that he was citing never existed, that they were themselves.
Which proves the implicit threat in it in terms of getting real information. Because if a man who is as experienced as he is writing about the topic can get caught by it,
yeah,
doesn't bode well for everybody else.
And particularly, this might be an insular point for those of us who work in the media sphere, but everyone is always being pushed to produce more and more quickly at lower cost and at greater velocity and speed. And AI looks like a silver bullet to help you do that. But if it's an illustration that people at the very top of the tree, for whom the time pressures are maybe not so acute, that they're producing stuff that has quotes that were never said, that's a worrying sign for everyone.
Before you go, I want you to bring us up to date on this quote.
One thing, you don't want to signal too much, When we go in, we went in very hard, and we didn't tell anybody about it because we wanted surprise. Who knows better about surprise than Japan? Okay? Why didn't you tell me about Pearl Harbor? Okay? Right? He's asking me, do you believe in surprise? I think much more so than us. And we had to surprise him, and we did.
Well, whatever
it was surprising.
Whatever
that bit was surprising too, wasn't it?
Saying that about the attack on Pearl Harbor in public, I assume there was nobody from Japan present during that, Gavin, was there?
Oh, contraire, Anton. In fact, the Prime Minister of Japan was sitting beside him in the Oval Office, in the same seat occupied by Micheál Martin only 48 hours previously. So Take Sadishi was making the usual customary trip to the White House, where they were discussing, among other things, Japan's involvement in trying to unclear the Strait of Hormuz, what you were talking about with Charlie a few moments ago.
And he went to Pearl Harbor.
Well, one of the Japanese members of the media, and I actually was watching this live, and Trump was very conscious towards the end that effectively all of the questions from the floor had been dominated by American media. So he was trying to throw a token question to a member of the Japanese press. And a member of the Japanese press said, well, we would consider you to be an ally. So was there not a reason why you could telegraph to us in advance that you were going to be effectively starting what could well be World War III in the Middle East? And to which his reply was, oh, sure, listen, you guys know all about surprises. You didn't tell us in 1941. To which you could reply, well,
Have you heard about the Enola Gay?
We didn't tell you in 1945 either. But what was particularly remarkable, especially when you're looking at it through Irish eyes and everyone is analysing whether Micheál Martin could have been a little bit more forceful in his points on Tuesday, was that the Japanese Prime Minister, who was smiling, politely, perfunctorily at the start of the question, by the time there was a mention of Pearl Harbor, then merely just started to sit on her hands and sort of gaze at her shoes very focusedly. It was a cringe moment for everyone. And even having seen it live, I struggled to articulate my aghastness at the whole thing for a good 10 or 15 minutes afterwards.
Gavin, thank you so much. Gavin Riley, Virgin Media News political correspondent, and more importantly, host of Monday with Gavin Riley on Virgin Media Television, coming this Monday.
News Talk Breakfast with Anton Savage. In association with AIR. Weekday mornings at 7. News Talk. Conversation that counts.